Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest this evening is David Hoffman. He has a remarkable life story. That's because we have a remarkable God. And he has a book, Relationships Over Rules, 7 Principles to Lead Gracefully and Love Generously. And we're going to be talking about that together. So, David, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you for having me.
Now, your story is quite remarkable. You did not start out with a silver spoon in your mouth where everything at home was a Hallmark movie with love and roses and that kind of thing. It was a tough beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to encourage people because everyone has their own challenges and adversity and strife in their life. But yeah, it was not pleasant for many years, and I challenged God every day.
Mm-hmm. And in the midst of that, I mean, you did not have parents who were teaching you the gospel, far from it.
Right.
And you were not being given just love and the right kind of attention. You experienced some real deprivation and abuse. But that resonates, obviously, with me because of the kind of children we work with at Ware's Valley Ranch. We're working with kids who come out of very difficult home situations. Not always a matter of abuse, though sometimes it is. But we work with kids where maybe mom died of cancer, mom's killed in a car crash, dad went to prison, dad ran off with his secretary, and now mom is working 2 jobs and can't take care of the kids on her own because you can't be 2 places at once. So we know that there are all kinds of painful circumstances out there, as you just alluded to. But I love when we get to share about how God is able to intervene in situations like that, and the fact that a person's past doesn't have to dictate their future. So talk with us about this book and the principles that God has taught you over the years about how to cultivate the right kind of relationships and as you said, how to love generously.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's called Relationships Over Rules.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world gives us all these rules of, you know, if you're coming from neglect or abuse. And for me, I like using the word neglect more.
You know,
I was kind of left alone. And by the way, we just took custody of a 10-year-old girl who was in a really tough spot. And we just love her with all our heart. You know, because Jesus would leave the 99 for the one. And so it's called Relationships Over Rules because the rules say everything's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
But with the relationships that God puts in your life, not the strangers, your own marriage, your own kids, your own friends, your own past clients, not future spouses, not future kids, you know, not the secretary.
Mm-hmm.
Those relationships overrule the rules. And so when I look back to my life, when I was in those seasons of adversity, it has given me perspective to have a lot of gratitude. It's given me a unique perspective. And everyone with adversity has a perspective. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that perspective has given me a gratitude that God was working in all things, that you don't need all the food in the world. You don't need all, you can live on little. You know, the Israelites were hoarding their manna.
Mm-hmm.
They had more than they needed. You know, just don't worry about tomorrow. I live in 3 minutes and 3 years. I live in 3 minutes. I can be present with you and your gang and listeners, anyone who's listening, to give my best. Mm-hmm. And then 3 years so I can walk back what God wants each day. And when the pandemic started, God put 2 things on my heart. He said, write the book in this season, your story for my glory. And he said, be open to having a little girl. And so the week we're getting ready to start adoption training with the Christian Adoption Services,
mm-hmm.
God opened this door for this precious little girl who was a distant relative through marriage. And God plucked her out of a bad situation with some help from, and put her in our arms, and because I was ready to receive. And so, you know, the book starts with some of my story. Some of it's probably tough, but I hope it's encouraging, not because it's about my story, but because everyone has a story. And I think we go through a tough season or even longer than that, and we kind of forget that God has a big plan for each of us. You know, I've got Jeremiah 29:11 up and down our conference room wall. I've got a real estate company here. And when people come in, Jim, and they're like, you know, how do I get the most money for this? How do I sell this for top dollar? How do I buy this at the lowest price? And they're holding on tight to every dollar. They want to squeeze every dollar. I just point to Jeremiah 29:11 and remind them that he has a plan for them.
Yes.
And so, you know, the beginning of the book just unpacks my story so people can be mindful of their story. And then once they realize, wow, if David can be redeemed from what he's come from, I can do it measurably more, which is so true. And there were three principles that were put on my heart when I moved to Charlotte, knowing no one to get into real estate. Not the brightest idea, saved. You know, be the friend, because I never had real friends. Be the expert, because you can't fake it till you make it. But you have to be a friend first, because no one cares much. No one doesn't know what you care. But be present. Be present wherever God puts you and whoever he puts you with. And that foundation really helped me in my real estate career. And then from that, it's really helped me in all my relationships, in my marriage, with my kids, in my organization, with employees, colleagues. And so then seven principles from the last 4 years of my life have been unpacked from that. God never stopped working, even when I didn't know him.
Amen. Amen. And one of the things we discover when we come to know him is that he loved us all along. You know, a lot of people's idea about God, if they believe that there is a God, the conception of him has been totally warped by bad experiences with authority figures, with, you know, a father who did not love them well, and often with bad experiences with religious people. And those kinds of things cause people to have really a horrible view of who God is. And the enemy, of course, works on this. The original temptation in the garden, he was lying to Adam and Eve about what God is like and why God had said, don't eat the fruit of that tree. And so when, after all the years, however many years people spend with a bad view of God, they finally meet him and begin to get to know him, they discover, oh my goodness, this is not the way I imagined God. He is so much greater, and he really does love us. And you refer to him as your Abba, Father, because that's what Jesus said we're supposed to know. God gives us that spirit of adoption, so that we call him Abba, Daddy. And that's beautiful. That's one of the things we stress here in our ministry. Now, you mentioned that you're in real estate. God has certainly blessed your real estate career, but you're not just focused on career, are you?
No. I'm focused on eternity and bringing people with me.
Exactly.
I got saved in 2009. And I met my wife the next day. You know, sometimes it takes more faith to not believe. And, you know, and so, you know, the older I get, and we hear this all the time, you know, as you get closer towards the end, regardless if you live to be 20, 30, 50, 70, 100, we're not living to 200, we're not living to 300. And there's going to be people after us, just like there was before us. Every day that goes by, I realize I believe I know where I'm going, and I want to bring as many people as possible with me.
Amen.
And, you know, and so Proverbs 22:6, focusing on my two boys, now my little girl, raising them up the right way, so when they're old, they're not depart. And then just being a disciple to others, like being a good influence, the salt and light to others. And what I get to do in the marketplace is not everyone trusts the politician. Mm-hmm. I trust my pastor, but not everyone does. But no one trusts a professional. But if you can meet them, you know, like, not many people trust a real estate professional. It's really hard because there's so much money on the line, and yeah. and that becomes the master. But you could be a marketplace ambassador. And so I feel really honored, and I take that very seriously. I do believe it's life or death. I tell people all the time that the marketplace ambassador, it is a matter of life and death. When people say real estate, you know, it's just a transaction, I'm like, no, no, no. And that transaction ends, that's when the relationship just begins.
Yeah. Well, and I've seen this with people in various lines of work who take their relationship with the Lord seriously, who believe what he says. And, you know, there are times when you can't do what you would do if you didn't know the Lord in order to make the quick return. But the long haul, the return is tremendous, because the Bible talks about sowing and reaping. And when you're sowing in righteousness, you're going to receive blessing. And people, I have a friend in Atlanta who is now retired, but he spent decades in real estate. And he was selling properties to professional athletes who were transferred into Atlanta with sports teams. And, you know, they'd want to buy this huge monument to ego and success and so forth. He'd say, don't do that. And he'd say, let me show you something in a lower price range, and it's more modest, and it's going to be closer to where you practice, and you know, it's going to work better for you. And on more than one occasion, he was asked, don't you get a commission based on percentage? Wouldn't you make more money if you sold me the more expensive property? And he says, yeah, but my job's to take care of you. And one of these days you're going to get sold to another team or move to another city. And it's going to be a lot harder to sell this place you're looking at than the one that I want you to get that's less money. And we're just absolutely mystified. But the result of his treating his clients that way was that everybody wanted him to be their salesperson, because the word got out, this guy took care of us. He wasn't in it for himself. He was looking after the customer. And when you do that, God always makes it up to you. It may not be, you know, the splash in the pan millions that some folks net quickly, but the long term, as you said, you're looking not at a real estate career, you're living for eternity in the light of eternity. When you live that way, your values are different and how you treat people is different. Now, share with us some of these principles. You mentioned three principles, but there are some other things in this book. You've got seven. Share yep. with some of those principles and how God has helped you walk those out in your life.
Absolutely. You know, the funny thing is we probably should have said 10 principles, because the three I mentioned already are separate from the seven. But those three, Jim, be the friend, be the expert, be present, they're all critical in all relationships with God in the center. You know, mm-hmm. you can't be the expert without being the friend, because no one cares as much you know as they know much you care. Right. You're not being a true friend if you're not being present. If you're not being present, you can't be the expert. Yep. You can't be a true friend if you're not the expert. So most people focus on one of the three, some people two, but most don't focus on all three. And just from a dating advice for someone, or even marriage for the guys out there, you know, if you look back to your high school, college years, if you had a young lady that you were smitten by, but she always told you about all the bad guys she's dating, and you're thinking, why not me? And she giggled and thought, oh, you're a teddy bear, you're my friend. I could imagine us dating and it not working out. It's no different than when your friends say, you know, hey, Dave, hey, Jim, you know, we just had a long time ago, Mike and I decided we're not going to mix business and personal. Well, that's hogwash. They know you're the friend, but they don't know if you have time for them or if you're the expert, because people want to mix business and personal. And God brings those people together for that purpose. And so that's why those three defining principles are almost like the foundation for the seven. One of the seven, Jim, alludes to your friend in Atlanta, and it's called meet people without an agenda.
Yes.
You know, don't worry about the commission. Right. Don't worry about what you're going to get if you show your wife her love language and honor and cherish her after she said, I do.
Yes.
Don't worry what will come back by giving your kids time, which is how they spell love.
Amen.
You know, I have a dear friend who got into real estate in 2014, but he was introduced to me as just a friend who was looking at changing careers. He wasn't buying a home, he wasn't selling a home, and he wasn't in real estate. And so there is no real agenda for me to meet with him. Well, he not only got his license, he joined my brokerage. In 2018, I spoke in Nashville at a conference, and the host asked six people in my life, my wife, to find six people who could affirm what our relation meant to them. Well, this man, Jimmy, wrote one of those letters. And last year, a stray bullet killed him when he was going to bed at 1:30 in the morning, taking his son back from a Batman movie. Mm. And I opened his funeral, and then I found this letter, and I put it in the book. I had a big football player story in there I took out. I put this story in at the last minute. The publisher said yes. And it basically said that, you know, David, thank you for all the advice. I learned a lot in business. I appreciate our friendship. But most importantly, you brought me back to Jesus.
Praise God.
And praise God. So I showed his wife that. In 2018, he wrote me a letter. I didn't realize at the time. I didn't realize in 2014 why God was putting him in my life. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize when he wrote me that letter in 2018, it felt special. But a year and a half ago, I realized that it was his salvation. It was life-changing.
Amen.
And so I want to encourage people that, yes, you meet people where they are, and you do it without an agenda. Mm-hmm. Another principle is focus on the people God places in your life.
Yes.
And you know, again, during the transaction, we focus on who's there. But then the transaction ends, and when the relationship begins, we tend to just move on to a new transaction. But God didn't put that next person in your life that you're seeking out. God didn't put that next person in your life any more than he put the neighbor's wife in your life. Like, that is for someone else's house. And so we need to stay in relationship with people outside of the transaction, because that's the authentic relationship, like Jesus, when there's nothing to gain and you still give. And the funny thing is, another principle, I could do this all day with you, but I want to respect for your time, is find a way to say yes, but say the right yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not a people pleaser by any means. I'm a God pleaser. And so I don't say yes unconditionally. But if you focus on the people that God places in your life, then you have the capacity to find a way to say yes, but say the right yes. Because you may have some tough conversations and some tough relationships, but they won't be toxic. Mm-hmm. God doesn't put toxic people in your life. There might be tough ones, and we're not called for bliss every day, so tough ones are okay, but not toxic. So mm-hmm. find a way to say yes, but say the right yes. Jim, I was told no so many times. No to this, no to that. And so I want to encourage people to find a way to say yes, but say the right yes, even if you don't believe it's the best idea. But again, the right yes. Don't just double book. Don't overcommit.
Right.
But drop your guard, meet people where they are, and find a way to say yes. Mm-hmm. And that's being more like Jesus. You know, he just met people where they were and gave them what they needed. Mm-hmm. And so that's three of the principles. I can go through all seven if you'd like.
Well, let me comment on that last one, because I'm in agreement with what you said, but he did give people what they needed. He did not always give them what they wanted.
Amen.
And that's an important distinction, and that fits with what you're saying about saying the right yes.
Yes.
You know, just, it's not an unconditional yes, and now everyone in the world is in charge of your life. No, God's in charge of your life.
Amen.
Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. But that made it possible for him repeatedly to say yes to what people needed.
Yes.
And thank God for that.
Absolutely. And that's why I have Jeremiah 29:11 up on the wall, because when people say, you know, and ask, why is God doing this or not giving me what I prayed for? It's because it's not what you needed. You know, and or why is it so hard? If this is his plan, well, maybe it's not his plan. Yeah. You know, we tend to tell God what we want, you know, yeah, instead of listening to what he wants. And so I'm mindful of Romans 8:28, which you know well, and I know he's working things all together for our good, for those that love him. And so I remind myself, my wife, our kids, that he's working all things together for our good. It just may not be what you think is good. It's right. He knows best. And that's, yes, you're absolutely right. If someone asks for something, you don't just say yes. You find a way to say the right yes, to meet people where they are with what they need.
Yes.
People don't always know what they need.
Amen. Amen. All right. What's your next principle?
Yeah. The next principle is be the friend before being the expert. You know, everyone, regardless if it's in the church, if it's in the marriage, if it's in the marketplace, we tend to want to know, or to know it all. And I just want to encourage people, like I said earlier, that people don't care much you know until they know how much you care. Yeah. And in the marketplace, that might feel difficult because, you know, I was speaking in Baltimore at a real estate conference a few years back, Jim, and afterwards, this gentleman asked a great question. He said, look, this sounds all nice and warm and fuzzy and all, but what happens if you just help a lot of people? He used air quotes, help a lot of people, mm-hmm. but no one ever reciprocates.
Yes.
You know, you never actually sell a house. You never actually like make a dollar. What do you then? I was like, well, then when I get to heaven, I get to see my mom again and she's dancing with Jesus because she's not in a wheelchair. And hopefully I'm told, well done, good and faithful servant. He came up to me afterwards and he said, thank you so much. I needed this for my marriage. I need this for my kids. I need this for my business.
Praise God.
You know, so when you give unconditionally as the friend, when you show love and grace like Jesus, you know, he will provide, like you said earlier, he will provide. But it's going to be on his time. And so I just want to encourage people to be the friend.
Yes.
First, be the friend first.
Yep. Amen. And again, when people are, when it comes down to a jam, people really need relationship. It's not something we were hardwired to connect. And if you're not able to be the friend, as you said, they're not going to care so much about your expertise. If a doctor has extreme skill, but you feel like he doesn't care if you live or die, you're not crazy about that doctor. You know, he might have the expertise to do the surgery, but you really want him to want you to do well.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if you've got somebody who you think really cares about you, I have a son who's had over 40 surgeries.
Wow.
And I've not done any of them.
Right.
Now, I don't think any of his doctors loved him as much as I love him, but I don't have the expertise. So it has to be both of those aspects in order for you to be able to give the person the maximum help. So not enough to be the expert, not enough to be the friend. They do need to go together.
Amen. I want to use this video. That was more eloquent than I could have said it, Jim. You know, we use an example, an analogy with our new agents. When a new agent gets into real estate and joins our firm, I remind them that their friends know they're new.
Yeah.
So I say, look at it this way. You go to your friends and you show them. You ask them, if you're in an operating room, you'd want me there because you know I care about you and you're not going to die on my watch. Mm-hmm. But then you also want our expert agent there who's the chief surgeon because they know what's best. So you want both of us. You want me as a friend. You want the expert chief surgeon there. So absolutely, you know, you nailed it. I appreciate that. Another principle which people hear, but I think they need to be affirmed of this, is your past does not define your purpose any more than it dictates your potential.
Mm-hmm.
I think we get stuck with the chains of, well, I came from this, so that's just who I am. Or I came from that, so I'm not going to get out. And your past does not define your purpose. You know, we are perfectly made in his image. God has a big plan for each and every one of us. And we have potential, and where we came from is not where we're going.
Amen. Amen. That is so liberating when people believe that truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we talked about adversity earlier. Another principle is adversity breeds gratitude. You know, for many years, that adversity as a child, as a young man, as an adolescent, I was really mad at God. I took turns being really mad with him, to agreeing to disagree, to just not knowing him.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like, why would a good God let all these things happen? That's a question. It's a pretty popular one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But that adversity was giving me a unique perspective. Unique perspective of hard work starting at 8 years old, the unique perspective of what I could accomplish in my bedroom, what I could do without maybe as much food or water as the next child, that I didn't need to lean on people. You know, if you let people lift you up, they're going to let you down. And so that adversity, when I least expected it, God was using that adversity, which he did not want, but God was using that adversity from the broken world to give me this unique perspective so I can glean gratitude. And so now I'm grateful in the little things. You know, I was asked this morning by this wonderful pastor and radio host in Chicago, Jim. He said, tell me how you stay focused on grace and relationships mm-hmm. in a moving world. And I don't know if it was a good answer or not, but it came to my heart is, look, if God put them in your life, then you need to just focus on being more like Jesus and just giving more than you take. You always need to be focusing on grace and not what you're going to receive. Similar to your friend in Atlanta again. Your friend in Atlanta is always focusing on service to the client, not what will I get in the transaction.
Right. And that makes a world of difference. I mean, it just completely shifts your perspective. You've got a couple more principles. I don't want you to have to give away all the secrets so that people feel like, well, now I've heard the interview. I don't need to write.
I want folks to get this
because this is good stuff.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think the first half, there's three parts. The first part is the story. I think people will be pleased and encouraged and inspired, not because it's my story, but because you're like, wow, if David can come from that, I can come from this.
Amen.
And then we walk through the principles. And then I hope it's encouraging and not just teaching, but also where you can be when you grow up. I love to ask my gang in real estate and my kids at home, where do you want to be when you grow up? Mm-hmm. Because if you don't know where you're going, if you're not listening to the Lord and our Heavenly Father of what his plan is for us, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I mean, I'm not going to try to hold on too tight and understand it all. But if we don't know what he wants for us, then we don't know when we leave Seattle, if we're going to Orlando or Tuscaloosa, Alabama. We need to have the end in sight before we get on that plane. And so I just want to encourage people that they can do immeasurably more.
Amen. Amen. Well, and you talk about loving generously. Sometimes we use the term loving sacrificially, because if when it comes down to it, there are a lot of times when we find out that love is costly. And of course, Jesus demonstrated that with the ultimate sacrifice. But he also then speaks through the Apostle Paul to tell us that we are, as husbands, to love our wives as Christ loved the church and laid down his life for her. And that is, you know, the fact that love is costly is something that a lot of people want to overlook. I want to thank you for making the investment. I know that writing a book is not an automatic process. You didn't write this in your sleep. But writing a book was a way that you had of giving back and sharing what God's invested in your life so that others could benefit. So David, I want to thank you, and I want to pray God's blessing on you, and I hope you'll pray God's blessing on us here at Ware's Valley Ranch.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David. God bless you.
God bless you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.